We are thankful to see each one here. I honestly thought with the message we're going to bring this morning, as far as we've been studying on it this week, that it would be a series of studies that we'd do like on a Sunday night going through the book of Lamentations. And yet the Lord led us to at least start it this morning. I don't know where it'll lead from there, but at least start it this morning. And desire your prayers with it. Lamentations is a book. What it is, Lamentations, it's a lament for the dead. Now think about that for just a moment. He's talking to the nation of Israel in this passage of Scripture. And it's a lamenting or sorrow of death. And we know that God would turn His attention back to Israel and things of that nature, even in this time period. But just to think about the way that it's worded, the way that it's looked at, it's one of those things where it's a type of mourning, sorrow, and grieving. It's a devastating thing. You feel like, well, I'd like to stay away from that. I'd like to stay on things more positive, more upbeat. But there's lessons that you need to learn. Life isn't just about fun and games all the time. Life has sorrow in it. It has loss. It has suffering. And then you even think about our relationship with the Lord, our fellowship with Him. There's times when it's not what it seems to be. There's times, there's times when Job felt like God was afar off. Of course, in that instance, he wasn't. But we think about, David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, that he had totally lost his joy of his salvation. The joy of his salvation was gone. And you're talking about a relationship. A lot of times people forget when we talk about salvation and our walk with the Lord, we're talking about a relationship. But a relationship only works if everybody's involved. And you got a relationship with a spouse, you can be married and not talk to each other. That's not much of a marriage, is it? It's not much of a relationship. You can have children. Now, I've known people have children. You ask them, when's the last time you heard from this child or that child? They'll say, I haven't talked to them in years. I mean, I've heard people make those statements. I'm thinking, man, there's no relationship there. There's nothing going on. I can't imagine as a child not talking to my parents, and certainly as a parent not talking to my children. That would be a difficult thing, but I know that has happened to people before. I've heard of siblings that, they're brothers and sisters, and yet I've talked to some of them, and I've known some of this even within my own extended family before. I ask how somebody's brother or sister is doing, they say, I haven't talked to them 5 years, sometimes 10 years. I've heard that. You're going, my goodness, no relationship. And that's what you're dealing with here. There's been a great trespass on Jerusalem or Israel's part. And it's because of them that this relationship has been torn. And the real thing that you're looking at here, and the real relationship you can look at, adultery's been committed is what's happened. It's spiritual adultery. And a lot of people don't focus any time on spiritual fornication, spiritual adultery, but that'll separate our relationship with God. It'll make it where there's no fellowship there because we're not fellowshipping with Him. If we want a relationship with God, it says you draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. But there's an opposite side of that. You draw away from the Lord, well, He's going to draw away from you because you're hindering the relationship. Well, that's what's happened here. And I want to dig into the Scriptures. But before we begin, in chapter 1 and verse 1 of the book of Lamentations, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that You've done for us. Father, You've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that You would lead, guide, and direct in the service. Father, that we would not add to Your Word nor take anything away from it, but we would preach Your Word as it's given. And that, Father, we could grow by it, we could see Your Word, and that, Father, if there's something wrong in our side of a relationship with You, Father, we pray that we would fix that. Father, we know that You're going to love, and we know that You're going to do things that are right and just. But Father, help us to be in the center of Your will. And Father, we ask all this in the name of Jesus, for He is worthy. Amen. In Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1, it says, how doth the city sit solitary, that was full of people. How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces, how has she become tributary? And notice it's talking here about Jerusalem and the great city. And you even think back with Solomon and all the riches and all the wealth that was there. I mean, even the Queen of Sheba said the half had not been told of everything that God had blessed and God had greatly lifted up, and now it's solitary. Now it was a place that was full of people, and it's become, as a widow. And, you know, one of these great nations, and now it's become a tributary. It's become nothingness. It says, she weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. And you look at the statement here and the way it's looked at, notice that it's saying that she hath lovers. Not a lover, not a husband, not somebody, because that's what she should have been unto the Lord. She should have been given unto the Lord, but Jerusalem had given itself unto idolatry and unto things that were false. And all of a sudden, when bad times have come, there's no friends. There's no help. All the ones that she had committed adultery with are no longer there to help her. And that's the way it is, really, in an adulterous relationship, isn't it? Is that what you think was better, you find out was actually worse? And the one that was loving you and taking care of you and nursing you, you've treated them like nothing. So are they going to help you now? You know, there's an old statement, you can only mistreat people so long before they're tired of you. They've had enough of you. And a lot of people forget there's teachings of that even with God. And even with His relationship with Jerusalem and Israel. That He says, okay, I've had enough. Let me ask this. Why was the gospel preached unto the Gentiles? Why were we even offered it? The Bible says that it was removed from Israel as a whole because of their unbelief. And we've been grafted in, and again, because of their unbelief. And of course, sadly, we got a lot of Gentiles today, and the Gentile churches have this opinion, We're under grace. But you go read Romans chapter 11. It said, don't be high-minded but fear. For if God didn't spare the natural branches, He's certainly not going to spare those who've been grafted in when they misbehave and they are in unbelief and going after strange gods. He's not going to overlook that. And that's why things that are written aforetime are written for our learning. That's for our benefit. And even this. It says, Judah has gone into captivity because of affliction. And because of great servitude, she dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. And what you're seeing there is there's no celebration. There's no rest. There's no joy. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Notice the condition. Bitterness, affliction. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper. For the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. Her children gone into captivity. Watching your children go into slavery. There's no, joy in the solemn feast. You know, we think about having times of celebration, times of rejoicing. They weren't having any of that. All that had been taken away. And if you really analyze it some more, the way it's been taken away is the enemies have taken away. Now, who is the enemies? You're talking about people that she had committed adultery with. She had gone out and fornication, all these other things. And notice what they did unto her. They robbed her. They afflicted her. They sold her children into bondage. And so that's why you have this desolate place. And from the daughter of Zion, all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like harts that find no pasture. Harts is a type of deer. But they're like harts that find no pasture. And they are gone without strength before the pursuer. There's a lot going on here. Y'all ever seen somebody caught up in such mischief that it even robs them of their beauty? You know, I've seen people that used to be very beautiful when they were young, and maybe they got on drugs or some other things, and their beauty's just robbed. But it's not only drugs or alcohol that can do that. I've seen people that have got caught up in some things of life that they lose weight, they become bitter, they become angry, and just any type of beauty that was in them, just it goes away. There's no joy there. There's no hope. I mean, I've ran into people, and I wanted to ask people, you know, what is wrong with them? What is going on in their life? You just see people, and you're like, that's not who they should be. Y'all ever ran into somebody that should be totally healthy, and they're about 20, 30 pounds underweight? People talk about the overweight stuff. Y'all ever seen somebody just underweight? Their face, their skin just seems to be clinging to their face. I mean, they can look rough, and you're going, what in the world is going on here? That's what you're seeing here with Jerusalem. They're going about, and they're like a deer. There's no pasture for them. There's no home. There's no comfort. There's no food. There's no nourishment. Everything's out of place. And notice this, they are gone without strength before the pursuer. Let me ask you this, who does the lion come after? Those of you who've ever studied a preying animal like a lion, who does the lion look to attack? Do they go after the strongest in the herd or the weakest in the herd? Well, that's the way Jerusalem is here. They've become weak, that they have no strength. The pursuer's after them, but they have no ability to fight. They have no ability to defend themselves, to stand up, to even run away. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy, and none did help her. The adversary saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Mocked her religion, mocked her God. But how did it get to that place? Adultery. Leaving God. She remembered the days before, the pleasant things. But those are all gone. Sometimes we don't understand the price of sin until we're paying for sin. And there's people, listen, you can say that till you're blue in the face. There's some people that don't get it until they're hit between the eyes with it. And sadly, there's some even once they're hit in the eyes with the consequences of sin, they still don't see it. But sin has great price to it. Sin will tear you down. And it will cost you more than you ever believed. And that's what Jerusalem is realizing here. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Notice that statement. Jerusalem has grievously sinned, not just a little bit, grievously sinned. Therefore, she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. I mean, her wickedness, her sin is seen. Nakedness is a picture of it here. And there's really a picture that's being painted here when it says everybody has seen her nakedness. There's scriptures that talk about how she hath gone a-whoring after other gods and things of this nature. That's the picture that God is painting here. You are my people. You're mine. But you've gone whoring after other gods. And you can see the anger of God in this. And if you understand adultery and you understand the consequences of it, and you think in a marriage relationship yourself, what if you came to find out that your spouse had not been faithful? How would you feel? Would there be any anger in you? I'd hope there would. All honesty, there should be. You've been betrayed. You've been lied to. But listen, with Jerusalem here, it wasn't like she just had an affair and then repented and came back. That is not what has happened. There's grievous sins that's going on. She has gone whoring after other gods. That's Scripture. That's the way it's worded in Scripture. In other words, she didn't just go after and cheat in one spot. She cheated all over the place. Everybody's seen her nakedness, so to speak. That's the way that it's being worded here. And I want to really get the point across of what God is saying here. Everybody's seen your nakedness. You haven't hidden yourself from nobody. You've been with everybody. With all the false gods, with all the other countries, with all the different religions about. You didn't hold back from anybody. You've taken part in it all. And so you're thinking about, you find out about adultery, but you find out, look, it wasn't just a little affair over here with one person. It was with a pile of people. Now how would you feel? If you can get the grasp for that, you'll understand why God is talking so angry towards Jerusalem and Israel. It's not some small sin here. She has grievously sinned. Notice the next statement, her filthiness. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy had magnified himself. And notice in this statement, it's almost like Jerusalem saying, but Lord, my husband, the one I'm married to, would you remember me? I've got enemies. What do you think the Lord is saying in this spot? When you went whoring after other gods, and you just totally left God. Now, you made this bed, you lie in it. You put yourself in this situation, now you're going to deal with the consequences of it. And trust me, if you think that's just a small taste, that is a whole lot of what you'll find in the book of Lamentations. The adversary has spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things. For she has seen that the heathen entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation. Again, there's just no separation here. And you think about a place that was set aside for the worship of God. They've been worshiping false gods and false things. And God likens it to other people have been in my bed. Other people have been in my house. And you can understand the anger that God has in this situation. All her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Notice the conversation about God in his fierce anger. Let me ask this question. Does God have a right to be angry? He absolutely does. She's in sorrow. She's grieving over it. But God's basically saying, this is your punishment. You made this choice. You chose it this way. It wasn't my choice. And he has fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He has spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are wreath and come upon my neck. That means wrapped around, tied around my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, from whom I am not able to rise up. Been delivered into the enemies. That's pretty much God saying, if you wanted these people so much, they can have you. No, they're my enemies. They're afflicting me. You ran to them. The Lord hath trodden underfoot all my mighty men in the midst of me. He hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord hath trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as in a winepress. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. I mean, look, you're looking at a person that their children are suffering. The whole family suffering. Instances like this would cause great suffering. But you got to put yourself in God's shoes, in the man's shoes, so to speak. Are these my children? Are they the children of somebody else? You dig into it, you're going to find out what all is being said here. Look, if you found out that your spouse had been running around, would you not be wondering about whose kids they were? These children, they serving another God, or are they going to serve me? Why should I take care of them? They've been going after other gods. They've been going in ways that are contrary to me. Why should I support? Why should I protect? Why should I do these things? There's a lot going on here. Zion spreadeth forth her hands, and there is none to comfort her. The Lord hath commanded concerning Jacob that his adversary should be round about him. Jerusalem is as a menstruous woman among them. As meaning impure. There's impurity going on. The Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his commandment. There's a true statement, isn't it? The Lord is righteous. Is he right to be angry? Absolutely. Is he right to bring down judgment and a hard hand, discipline? Absolutely. Why? I have rebelled against his commandment. Hear, I pray you, all people, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men are gone into captivity. I called for my lovers, but they deceived me. My priests and mine elders gave up the ghost in the city while they sought their meat to relieve their souls. Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. Mine heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Abroad the sword bereaveth, at home there is as death. And notice there's no rest here. Y'all ever been so sorrowful, so sick with maybe things that are going on, makes the statement, my bowels are troubled. You ever been in such anguish that nothing in your body feels right? Your stomach doesn't feel wrong. Sometimes that means you can't eat. You ever been to the place, I'm just not hungry, I can't eat. Things within inside of me are just not right. There's nothing I can hold down. There's nothing that comforts me. I just don't feel right. He talked about abroad. Way off, the sword bereaveth. There's war, there's destruction. And at home there is his death. There's no place you can go to get relief. There's no place you can go and have any comfort or escape. Everything is trouble everywhere you go on every side. They have heard that I sigh. There is none to comfort me. All mine enemies have heard of my trouble. They are glad that thou hast done it. Thou wilt bring the day that thou hast called, and they shall be like unto me. And even there you see, and the enemies will be like unto me. They're going to suffer. They won't have comfort. But at this time, they're rejoicing over Jerusalem being in desolation. Let all their wickedness come before thee, and do unto them as thou hast done unto me for all my transgressions. For my sighs are many and my heart is faint. And this statement is saying, at least punish my enemies the same way you're punishing me. At least do unto my enemies what you're doing unto me. Goes on in chapter 2 and says, how hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger? and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remembered not his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord has swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob, and hath not pitied. That statement of hath not pitied is a huge statement. You ever seen a person that's just so overcome with anger, and they're right to be angry, that they're going to bring out judgment, and they're not even going to show any pity? I know a lot of young people have never experienced this. Probably some of you that are older understand what I'm saying. Y'all ever received a spanking where you felt like your father or mother didn't show you any pity? I got one in my life. I got spankings now, but I got one in my life I haven't forgotten. I've got one where I felt like Daddy was mad, he was upset, and I got the full wrath of his belt on my backside. I got a sure enough dose. I ain't get a regular spanking. I got a sure enough spanking. I felt like Dad just had no pity on me. I had so upset him, and I was getting the full just reward of it. And you think in some situations there's times when people lose their temper, they get so overcome with anger, that wrath is all you find. There is no pity. This is the situation that you're looking at here. You're looking at a nation that's being dealt with for their sin, and God is so angry and so mad at what His people have done. Not somebody else. It's His people. It's His people. It's His wife, so to speak. And He's so angry, He says, no, I'm not showing any pity. Nothing but judgment for the wickedness that you've done. Nothing but judgment. He said, He has swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob and hath not pitied. He hath thrown down in His wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He hath brought them down to the ground. He hath polluted the kingdom and the princes thereof. He hath cut off in His fierce anger all the horn of Israel. He hath drawn back His right hand from before the enemy, and He burned against Jacob like a flaming fire which devoureth round about. Notice that His attention is no longer on the enemy and fighting for the protection of His family and His people. Instead, He's turned His wrath upon His own people because of their wickedness. He hath bent His bow like an enemy. He stood with His right hand as an adversary and slew all that were pleasant to the eye in the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He poured out His fury like fire. The Lord was an enemy. Notice that statement. The Lord was an enemy of Jerusalem. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces. He hath destroyed His strongholds and hath increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. He hath violently taken away His tabernacle as if it were of a garden. He hath destroyed His places of the assembly. The Lord hath caused the solemn feasts and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion, and hath despised the indignation of His anger, the king and the priest. The Lord hath cast off His altar. He hath abhorred His sanctuary. Why is He abhorring His sanctuary? Let me ask this. Where is our sanctuary when you think about a human being? It's not your home a sanctuary. Where do you get rest at? Your own bed, right? If you found out a whole lot of other people had been in your bed, what would you want to do with it? Could you lie down and get rest there? There's a lot of false gods been served at His altar. And He says, I'm going to tear it all up. I'm going to tear it all down. And the reason is because it wasn't honorable unto Him. It's honorable unto people that were not Him. He hath abhorred his sanctuary. He hath given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord, as in the day of a solemn feast. The Lord hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He hath stretched out a line. He hath not withdrawn his hand from destroying, therefore. He hath made a rampart and the wall to lament. They languish together. Her gates are sunk into the grounds. He had destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. God says, I'm not even talking to these people. Can you imagine that kind of relationship that has been so misused, so distraught, so torn down? He says, I'm not even talking to her. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit upon the ground and keep silence. They have cast up dust upon their heads. They have girded themselves with sackcloth. The virgins of Jerusalem hang down their heads to the ground. Mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the suckling swoon in the streets of the city. Swoon means to turn, to hide, or cover. It's a horrible scene you're looking at here. There are times when people do not realize the consequences of sin. And that is a sad picture when people don't realize it. They say, oh, I can go do this, I can go do that, I can misuse God, I can serve other gods, I can do all these things that are pleasing unto me and all the things that God warned me against. And when God brings judgment, we go, oh no, this is more than I ever imagined. They say to their mothers, where is corn and wine? When they swooned as the wounded in the streets of the city, when their soul was poured out into their mother's bosom, the children just weeping and crying. What thing shall I take to witness for thee? What thing shall I liken to thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I equal to thee that I may comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion? For thy breach is great like the sea. Who can heal thee? Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity. In other words, they haven't encouraged repentance, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. They hiss and gnash their teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Certainly this is the day that we looked for. We have found, we have seen it. Notice how the enemy is rejoicing over this. And I will say this, that's a good picture of what'll be near the end when God brings judgment. You can look at that when they'll compass the great city round about. But this is certainly a picture of a time when Israel has sinned. Their people have sinned and they're being destroyed. And not only are they dealing with their own destruction, but they see their enemies rejoicing over it. You know, it's one thing to be in shame and make a mistake and have a horrible fault in your life. It's another thing for everybody to know it and everybody make it a joke. And that's what's going on here. The Lord hath done that which He had devised. He hath fulfilled His word that He had commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down and hath not pitied. And He hath caused thine enemy to rejoice over thee. He hath set up the horn of thine adversaries. Their heart cried unto the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thine hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the women eat their fruit, and the children of a span long? That's just saying little babies. A span, you know, that would be from like your elbow to your hand. You can imagine a baby is about that long. That's what he's saying here. They're starving, they're suffering. Shall the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? The young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the day of thine anger. Thou hast killed and not pitied. Thou hast called, as in a solemn day, my terrors round about, so that in the day of the Lord's anger, the day of the Lord's anger, none escaped nor remained. Those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed. The children of the nation. He said the enemy's consumed. I know we could go on, and we're going to preach on this later on and get to more in this book. And I know it's a book of lamentations, of crying. But this at the end of chapter 2 is really a prayer and saying, God, will you not have mercy upon your people? Will you allow them to be just totally destroyed and wiped off the face of the earth? That's what it's getting to the place here. But you're looking at a time where sin has been so grievous, so horrible, that God's wrath is just consumed against it. A lot of people have forgotten even what it teaches us in the New Testament. It says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And you know, there's a lot of people that think, I can go out and sin, I can go out and do whatever I want. I have such a merciful and such a loving God, and that's all they focus upon. But God warns us that He is also a jealous God and a God of wrath. What happens today, in our day and time, if we go a-whoring away from God? I think, in all honesty, we're seeing part of that, even in what we're dealing with in America today. I think a lot of things that we give credit for politicians and all these other people to do, we forget it's God that put a hedge of protection around us for a while, and it's God that can remove that hedge. And a lot of what we're dealing with today, if we really want to get to the depth of it, comes back to sin. Fornication's no longer wicked in a lot of people's eyes. Adultery's no longer wicked in a lot of people's eyes. Vile communication, covetousness, selfishness, greed. These things are no longer vile in a lot of people's eyes, but it's still vile in God's eyes. And God will do a lot of sparing because there's a remnant that remains. You can find that throughout the Scripture. When there's a remnant, that'll serve Him. But what happens when all of the people of God go after their own ways and their own lust and their own desire? What choice is God going to be left with then? It'll be a time of wrath and anger. And this is a side of God that we need to see as a warning to say, listen, don't do like Israel did. Learn from what they did. You stay close to God. You stay nigh unto your love, unto your first love, as the Scripture would call it. Serve the Lord in gladness. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. But I'll tell you this, you can only rebel so long against God before He says, that's enough. That's enough. It's time for judgment. And you know what happens a lot of times when we get into judgment? Oh, it's too painful. It's too sorrowful. But let me ask this, who brought the judgment upon? I could even go back and talk about that spanking I received, but I'll tell you what, I did something to receive it. I didn't get spanked for no reason. I can say, well, Daddy didn't show any pity in that one. He took a little bit, he took a little bit more punishment than maybe he should have, but who made him angry? Who rebelled? Who did that was wrong? See, we don't teach those lessons too much anymore, do we? We need to be very cautious. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is knowing that you do not rebel against God and think there's no consequences to it. There is. Israel learned that the hard way. Don't learn that the hard way. A lot of us have learned that in our lives individually. If you've been chastened by the Lord, you know it. And sometimes your chastisement is more than you ever wanted to deal with. If you've had a good chastisement before. Sin has consequences. And I'll say this before we close to those of you who might be here in loss. God has extended love to you. He has offered it to you through Christ. But if you reject that love and choose to face His judgment, you say, oh, He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. There's one day He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. You know what the Bible says will be on that day? He said, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You do not want to fall into the wrath of God. You want to accept the love of God. It is far better. I pray that this could be an encouragement to us. We'll try to continue and go through the rest of the book at another time, maybe this afternoon, maybe next Sunday. We'll let the Lord lead. But pray for us that we could present this in the right way and get across the point that God's trying to get across to us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.